meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, from Survivor, Jerry Manthe here. Favorite show.
Yay.
Let me say this about Jerry, as I was saying to Drew yesterday.
Here we go.
Did you hear what I was saying in the previous show? Could you hear?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. He didn't, by the way. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I didn't hear what
I know. So I want to see if you say what I think you're going to say.
Well, lesbian? No? No.
Wishful thinking, I think.
Well, you know, women always say guys wish they were, you know, when lesbians. But really, if you think about it, what's in it for us?
Right.
I mean, if we got to watch, but we'd rather have sex with you.
Yeah, but you're more lucky to watch her with another woman.
Than to have sex.
Yeah, see. So.
Okay. You probably.
Interesting.
You're lesbian.
Good point. Yeah, I got to play.
You're the first
odds.
Person who's brought that up.
And
I'm not, by the way.
Nah, you don't have
I'm
any
very
of that
hetero.
You. Yeah, maybe a little too hetero.
Maybe.
You're scaring Drew. Drew's a man of extreme passion. Is he your type?
I've heard that about you.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
around now. Huh?
But you're married, aren't you?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But enough passion for more than one woman, yes.
Really?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You could take up.
Are you trying to pawn him off?
No, I'm just saying, you know, usually between Drew and myself, we have the types covered.
There's a wide enough spectrum represented here?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Everyone falls somewhere in between us, pretty much. I mean, most white guys.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, yeah. Somewhere, yeah, we're ends of the spectrum. Yeah.
I think intelligence is very sexy.
Yeah, see, that's what people don't know about Drew.
That Adam's intelligent.
They don't know how much smarter I am than Drew. All right, Drew, you want to back me up?
It's not even intellect, instinct.
Thank you.
Rare.
Thank you. I'm like a cat. I like to nap and urinate on things to mark them.
Oh, man.
All right, so let me talk about Survivor for a second. First, no, here's what I wanted to say about Jerry. Jerry was on the Australian Survivor, got a rap as being a little bit of a drama queen, and came in here, and I saw...
That's a nice way to put it, by the way.
I saw her on other shows. She came on our show, and Jerry's thing was, look, it's all in the editing. I wasn't that bad, but it's how they cut it together. But it still struck me that you were closer to the person that was portrayed in the first one than you are now. It seems you've had some sort of renaissance or something. You seem more laid back. You're more comfortable.
Now, your thoughts on the All-Star.
All-Star. Here's an interesting one.
Epiphany. I see the light over there.
Well, people went different directions. Like Mr. Humble Colby, for instance, who was just sort of... boy next door and the most humble guy in the world was a little bit cocky.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, you're spinning. He seemed cockier in the second one. You seem much more humble, much more open, much more friendly, much different than you did in the first one. And in general, and I've seen you and heard you on some radio shows and seen you on other programs and stuff like that. In general, you seem like someone who's in a better mood than you were 2.5-3 years ago. Is that true?
I've grown a lot since then.
Have you?
Yeah. I mean, okay, first of all, I've never blamed the editing. I never said it's all the editing.
Well, I don't mean all the editing.
I know I gave
mean...
him plenty of material the first time out.
Right.
I was very cranky. And I honestly had no idea that hunger was going to affect me the way it did. And lack of sleep.
Sure.
So this time I was more prepared.
Right.
But I was also going into the situation knowing the reaction that I got last time from people. It was so harsh. People said horrible things about me.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of time to evaluate my personality. And I knew there were things about myself. Like, I have a very low tolerance for stupidity and very little patience with people sometimes.
Oh, you should date Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I worked on those things over the last couple of years.
Separate at birth, in fact.
Well, but see, this is a great message to send to the kids, which is...
Take a look at things.
Take a look at things. When people have complaints, don't immediately shut them down and label them as jealous or vengeful or something like that. Say, well, maybe if 10 people come up to you and say they don't like your hair, perhaps it's time for a new hairstylist, instead of labeling them all stupid. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about everybody. But what Jerry did
is... If it's hair, I don't agree.
All right, forget about hair. Well, 10 people really all
outward
telling
appearance.
You how bad it looks?
If it's your choice to have that hairstyle, then wear it well.
Yeah, but you're only doing it to please people. Please just admit that, ladies. Here's my point. If enough people draw consensus about you, whether they're right or wrong, that's what people think. And if you don't want them to think that, then you have to alter something. But I'm paying you a compliment in a sort of roundabout way, which is...
Well, in fact, for us, it's sort of a high compliment. The plasticity and the openness, those are high compliments for us.
Jerry is a person that probably had, 100 good things and 3 bad things, and fixed the 3 bad things, or maybe 2.5 of them.
I've worked very hard on myself.
Yeah, you really come across much differently than you did a
couple
of years ago.
And I allowed myself to be more vulnerable this time. The first time out, reality TV hadn't really hit, and so I didn't understand, and a lot of us didn't, how it worked.
Right.
And so my whole thing was to go in and be tough and to put on my game face and to be, not let anybody see me be hurt or be down. And this time...
That's what they want to see.
Yeah, this time I went in and I said, you know what? I'm a human being, and there are times when I'm gonna need the company of other people.
Well, there was... I'll tell you, there was the best, I'd say your best work was they had to build a shelter. Drew doesn't care for the show, so I have to fill him in on it, but I'm a huge fan.
This is where the stupidity part comes in.
They had to build a shelter, and they left it up to Rupert, who's basically one of the sturdier guys who gets a lot done. And he decided they should dig a hole and have it be sort of subterranean. On the beach, and then, of course, a monsoon blew in, and there's 2 feet of water in this hole they were trying to sleep in. And everyone was just sort of sitting, just drenched. I mean, it made
you... Shivering for like 8 hours. I had hypothermia.
It was brutal. I mean, but it made you feel like... It was sort of like Vietnam, like just like sleeping in a rice paddy kind of thing.
And I honestly had post-traumatic stress disorder for like 2 months after I got back because of that night. That was the worst night of my entire life.
Wow. Yeah, could never get worse than that.
No.
You'd have to be on fire the entire night. No, they just... Everyone realizing that they went the wrong direction with the shelter, which was down. Monsoon rains came in. Everyone's just sitting there soaked. Not nothing dry, no shelter,
it
no tarp, no nothing.
It was the only time I spoke up and said something, and I was very diplomatic about it, too. I was like, I'm a little concerned about our safety. And I said something else like, there's a reason why people in California don't have basements. And he wouldn't listen to me, and I even put it up for vote with everyone else. Yeah. So is there anyone else who is also concerned? And there were crickets.
Yeah,
nobody wanted to stand up.
You knew it was gonna. I mean, it edited together beautifully. But while he was digging the hole, Jerry was saying, maybe we should go, up instead of down, and no one would listen to her.
It
must have rained 17 inches that night.
It was the worst storm in Survivor history. I mean, lightning was crackling so close to us; our hair was like standing up.
Wow.
And
maybe the ground was good for that, though. At least we got hit.
It was so bad that the camera crews fled. And they've all been fired since then. Those guys are gone.
Really?
Yeah, they ran. They stranded us.
I was just about to ask. Like, well, these guys are standing around with these metal items, on their shoulders, and it's driving rain. And, they're holding a 45-pound camera. They got to stand there all night, too.
Yeah,
that's
I would have ran, too.
So they just went for shelter, and they canned them, huh?
Yeah, because that's where there's no footage of the actual flooding or any footage of us standing around. We were literally, like, shivering, holding on to each other, telling stories from our childhood, trying to focus on staying present. It was
horrible.
Really bad.
Now, was it...
I should have gone into therapy for that.
And I know everyone was cold,
freezing.
But... Was it just everyone was just soaked to the bones? I mean, was it a cold night?
It was freezing. And
it was a cold night.
Yeah, and the thing is, in Panama, it rains so often and it's so moist that all your belongings are always wet. Like, mold was growing inside my pants, like my army pants. every, I mean, we had to like fight off getting jungle rot, which is when your feet fall off. Like they fall apart, like the bottoms of them.
Yeah.
And we didn't have water or fire for 5 days.
Yeah.
Water. Yeah. That's, I mean, that's got to be illegal.
That's what I was saying to Drew.
Yeah, I was saying it too.
Drew gets outraged about it. He gets on his big medical high horse when he starts talking about it, especially the part where you guys...
Sue drinks out of the well there.
Yeah.
What the hell was in there?
They told us there were brain parasites.
Then the refeeding, when they refeed you guys
the part where you get integrated back into society and they drop you off at a Shakey's.
I mean, you described how you swelled up and you got like electrolyte.
Oh,
that is
horrible.
Very dangerous.
Yeah. It was really bad. This time, though, the food, once we got off, was bad enough where you didn't stuff yourself. It was like beans and rice every day. I was like...
Well, good times, everybody.
Good times.
Survivor, Thursday nights on CBS.
Oh, that's right. It's still on.
It's still on. Do you know who won?
No, I don't.
Wait a minute. You have to know who won.
No, I don't. No, nobody knows.
Because they do the ending live.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you know who the last two are. Yeah. You gotta know that. All right.
Maybe.
Hey, you know what? Here's how mature I am. I don't want to know.
Good, because I'm not telling you.
During the commercial, I'm going to tickle it out of you.
Oh, no, don't.
Yep.
I'm the most ticklish person on the
planet.
That's
what I hear. Jeff?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I'm kind of confused about my sexuality in a sense. Because I have this... I don't know, because I've never been laid before, and...
We don't believe it.
I know, but it's
true. Good try, Jeff.
Sorry, Jeff.
It's the truth, really.
No.
He's never been what before?
Laid before?
I don't know. What have you never been before?
I never been laid before.
You're a virgin?
Laid before?
He's a virgin.
You've never been laid before?
Yeah. And, I have this friend, and that seems like she's suggesting it. I don't know how to go about approaching it with her, because, I don't know, I don't really have...
No question.
Jeff, there's no question that she's approached you. How do you approach it? She approached you. No question.
Yeah. What do you do? You mean, how do you get your fly down?
She hasn't flat out said, you know, let's do it. She's just kind of saying, you know, it's hard to find somebody that wants to do it with me.
Hold on a second. Let me talk to Drew.
I just get bogus affect from the second you picked up the phone.
I did, but also there are guys out there who, this is what
they just
make
life
horrible.
Sounding bogus.
They're a little their voice is sort of tinny and it's wooden and there's nothing. This is like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
This is what makes him such a great actor. He don't believe anything he ever says. They sound like they're lying. Everything that comes out of their mouth sounds like they're lying. Like, you know,
you convinced me. Yes, you convinced
me. Of my passion.
Yes.
But see, because I... The passion that I exude. I'm the antithesis of these guys.
Yes.
You see? Now, Jeff could not be getting laid. I don't know what he did with the word laid, but he turned it into like half a syllable.
Turned it into late.
He's having trouble getting late.
Yeah, I think he's very confused.
So he could be one of these guys. The reason we don't believe him is the reason he could be a virgin.
Here's what we need. We need to know why he is where he's at. There's
Jeff?
A good reason for that.
Yeah.
All right. You know good? What I mean? Are you a good student?
Fairly.
How's your stature? Normal size?
It's okay.
All right. Boy, he paints a picture,
I got a vivid impression with that.
Maya Angelou. Yes. Boy, I close my eyes. I see his whole world. See a guy with a C-plus sort of medium size. Jeff.
Yeah.
Do you have any problems? Have you ever had any head trauma, mild retardation, anything like that?
No, as far as I know.
Okay.
Adam, you any retardation?
No. Let's see that.
I know I'm not retarded.
Okay. So, do you have a job?
I have a couple of them.
A couple. You living at home?
No, I moved out, finally.
Do you have male friends?
Yeah.
What'd you do in high school? Were you in the band?
No, I was more like the I mean, I hung out with, like, the jocks and the nerds. I was that kind of person in between.
Trainer?
No. Yeah. Hanging out with the jocks and the nerds means not hanging out with anybody. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everyone
it's
and
like,
no one.
He's like saying, I was in the Black Panthers and the Klan. Yeah. Really? Or were you just nowhere? Or were you just at your mom's house?
Yeah.
You weren't anywhere.
What's he do? I want to know the jobs.
I don't
what are
know.
The jobs? Come on, I'm getting intrigued. Right. Now I'm in. Jeff, what do you do for a living? What are the jobs?
I work at Taco Bell and I work at Dairy Queen and I'm going to school part-time.
You know how much I would weigh if I worked at Taco Bell and Dairy Queen? I'd have like a blizzard and a, like a chalupa constantly going. Just be like, it's like I'd be on a chalupa drip with the blizzard. I'd be taking the blizzard rectally with the, like a liquefied chalupa drip going.
Yeah.
Hey, I like the new crunchy cheesy gordita.
Yeah, the gordita. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to Taco Bell.
Hey, Jeff, you tell those geniuses over at Taco Bell
bring back the enchirito.
And
thank you. Whatever happened to
what
that?
What happened to the enchirito? What happened to the bell beaver?
We have the enchiladas.
What?
Not out here.
No.
No, not here we do.
And by the way,
God,
hold on a second.
We're chipped out here.
I know. We used to have something called an enchirito, which is just an enchilada. I don't know where.
No, it wasn't even that. It was the ground beef.
It was the sauce that made it special.
It was an enchilada.
It was attempting to be a beef enchilada.
It came in some foil or something.
Yeah, beef enchilada.
It came in a really cool little bowl-like dish.
Yeah.
Here's the whole thing about the Mexican cuisine. You don't have to mix it up every few months. It's a bunch of cheese, a bunch of beef, a bunch of tortillas. That's it. Don't get fancy on us. Yeah, the enchilado. Oh, man.
Good stuff.
But the bell beefer. Now, that's something you could take with you. It was an enchirito. That was a commitment. You know, you had to spill it all over.
You can't drive and eat an enchirito.
No, bell beefer, you could run a marathon with a bell beefer.
All right, Jeff, here's the deal.
The
girl is bisexual. You're a virgin. You want to have a physical relationship with somebody you don't want to have an emotional relationship with. That's fine. She's looking for some kind of contact. That's fine. So go call her and take her for coffee and just see what happens. And don't expect to have a relationship from this, all right?
All right there, buddy. And meanwhile, how about a nice gal at work? I mean, there's probably some women you work with over at the DQ and over at the TB.
Well,
tuberculosis. Yeah, that's why they're not doing that. They're smart.
Well, most of the girls that I work with at Taco Bell don't really speak English.
Really?
Yeah. Even better.
What do you mean? Yeah. They'll think you're a genius. All right, buddy.
Good luck.
Yeah, good time. So, you know, all right. Yeah, no, that was a virgin there. That's what guys sound like.
Really?
Because he'll get laid and call back tomorrow and be like, hey. How you doing? What? No, man. I dropped that gig over at the DQ. I'm now representing a label. I'm a publicist. And I'm a personal trainer. Yeah, that's
the voice goes down a couple of octaves.
Yeah, I got a DVD that I'm looking to drop pretty soon. It's a personal trainer, it's a Tybo type thing. It's something I invented I can't talk about.
Jeez. Yeah,
that's what happens to guys after they get laid. So we're gonna, and by the way, do you got to work at Dairy Queen and Taco Bell? Couldn't you just ask your manager at Taco Bell to pump you up a few more you know, hey, give me a 45-hour week.
Yeah.
I mean, save yourself a little drive time.
What's Jeff doing? Come on.
What do you mean, what's he doing?
What else
taking
he
care
want?
Of business over there.
No, no, but I mean, he needs to be working all the time. It's good work.
You're talking to the guy who put in an application at Taco Bell and wasn't Taco Bell material. Cut out of the Taco Bell.
Oh, no.
Yeah, didn't make the cut. And they have quite a rigorous screening process over there, which is if it didn't look like you filled it out with your fist clenching a crayon, they let you in. Like, if your thing doesn't have a big skull and crossbone drawn in charcoal on it, they'll let you in. I didn't make it in. It's all right. I went to McDonald's. And,
I worked at Burger King.
You did?
That was my first job, yeah.
Which one?
It was on an Army base in Alabama.
But, wow.
Yeah, and I got moved up to drive-thru because I was that good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's when you've arrived.
Yeah.
Because the movie, because that's what they call a face position. Uh-huh. It's a face job. They put you in the drive-thru because what you
interact with the public.
Yeah.
You're like the hood ornament of a car. That's what people see. Where I was more like an intake manifold. I was down in the bowels. You know, I was working the grill. I was a grill guy. They didn't have me up front.
Yeah, we want you seen.
Yeah. 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 Wow.
Miranda, 25.
Yes.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I've got a small question here. Every time I have sex, well, just about every time I have sex, I end up spotting and hurting afterwards. Can you tell me if this is normal?
The hurting part's a little bit disconcerting. The spotting can be quite normal.
Okay.
But the pain, where is the pain?
It's a burning pain right around the vaginal opening.
When was the last time you had a pap smear?
Oh, I guess it was just a couple months ago.
And that was normal?
And it was normal.
Have you ever had ovarian cysts or endometriosis or any problems like that?
I did have an ovarian cyst, but it went away. It was kind of mid-cycle.
And are you on any medication, though?
No.
Nothing?
No, not right now.
I would certainly suspect that there's a possibility of another ovarian cyst. They tend to recur, so that's a possibility. It could be normal. Could be a little infection.
Bladder infection?
No bladder. Well, I mean, you never know because you're just having this sort of nonspecific pain. But the pain and bleeding usually is uterine irritability.
Ouch.
So it's time for another pelvic exam, just to be sure.
Okay, now, the thing that concerns me is it usually only happens, especially whenever I have an orgasm.
Interesting.
Well, we could get together and solve that.
Because then you'd never have orgasms. It'd be perfect.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you'd be on easy street.
Again, there's nothing specific about that. The fact that it follows orgasm. In fact, it sounds more normal than not because, again, there's some contractions that can push the blood through. So I wouldn't worry about this, but it should be checked out. Sometimes the blood can just be irritating. You know. There's 100 reasons for this.
I don't know why. I was thinking about Survivor and, you know, tampons and stuff. And I think we talked about how that worked before. But
with Jerry.
I don't know who we... Maybe it was with Jerry.
I think it was me. Yeah.
Could have been Ethan.
Well, he brought it up,
too. It's a man-pond, man. Yeah. I suppose... Now, that's not a luxury item, a tampon.
No.
They'll supply that for
you,
right?
Yes, that's a necessity.
But I'm just thinking, and there's no necessity, there's no other necessity. Is there any other necessities?
If you wear contacts.
Oh, okay.
Then you get to take your solution with you.
Oh, really?
I
was trying to think of other examples. Now, like for instance.
And if someone's on medication.
Okay. I didn't
take people on meds?
Yeah. Sometimes. I mean, Rudy's 75. I'm sure he was
taking something. I didn't see any luxury items this time around.
They took them away. They didn't let us have anything this time.
Well,
not even a change of clothes.
Yeah.
They gave us a machete and said, here you go.
I'm telling you, it just keeps getting worse.
It was by far the worst experience of my life.
I'll tell you, like, I was predicting, you know, at this rate, like Survivor 2025, they would take a rusty piece of rebar.
Shove
it in between your ribs pierce a lung and drop you in the...
volcano?
No, in the Atlantic during a storm at night.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Enjoy.
Floated for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just... it's getting to the point where they're going to start hobbling people before they drop them out on the island because they already got nothing.
Well, hopefully they'll up the prize money a little bit at that point.
Yeah. By the way, I can't remember.
Because if it's for five, I'll do it.
Is second place $250 or is it five? What the hell was second place? The winner is $1 million. And then second was like, what was second place? $250?
I don't know. They upped everything this time.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, so
because it was the All-Stars, but the $1 million stayed at $1 million.
The million stayed $1 million. What was second place when you were in Australia?
I think it was 250,000.
And then was there a third, or was the third like a car or something?
No,
or there was no third?
Yeah, it was all money all the way down. But sooner you got voted off, the less money you got.
Oh,
so you have an incentive to want to stay out there as long
sure.
as possible.
If I were a survivor, I'd be angry at millionaire.
Yeah. Some fat history teacher from Wisconsin sits on
minutes.
His ass, chews the fat, has got to call Lifeline or his buddies, another faculty over at Harvard, gives him the answer.
It's fine,
then the audience votes on the thing. And then there's just a 50-50 one. Well, get rid of two wrong answers. Really? Just sitting on your fat keister and you're getting yourself $1 million? Say
or
million?
More, that's 10 millionaire.
Yeah, these guys are eating grubs out in the wilderness and hypothermia.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so wait a minute now. We got to go to break. When does the money start? I mean, if you're the first person thrown off, do you get anything?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because I thought the money started
not
like
much.
10 and up or 8 and up. All right, well, let's figure this out. Jerry Manthey here from Survivor. I forgot about this whole part. They just, you know, they focus on the $1 million. But I want to know, like, what number five gets. And what's the
difference?
It's
not a lot.
Well,
it's
not. Don't ruin it for everybody. Man, not a lot for you, but it'd be a lot for someone. I was going to say me, but, you know, I'm literally a millionaire. But someone like Engineer Chris, oh, man.
Oh, man.
All right, let's...
You're better off in here.
I almost said me, Drew.
Math class. Math class was today, huh?
Oh, math class.
You had to get up early, 12:45.
No, he had to be there at 12:45. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jerry Manthey's here tonight from Survivor. Let's see. When did you get booted off? 3 weeks ago?
Yeah. Ninth place again.
Was it ninth place twice?
Again, yeah.
Jeez, I'll tell you, you made a pretty good splash for not cracking the top five, two survivors running. I mean, it's amazing. It'd be an interesting study, the names you remember and the ones you don't, oftentimes not having to do with what place they even came in. Obviously, if you're getting voted off the first week, the second week, you're going to fade out.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who never made it past the halfway point or made it right about the halfway point who turned out to be some of the bigger names and personalities from the show. So we're talking about money. We're talking about money last time. And $1 million to the winner, but everybody will get... So if you get vote... Where do they start? 18? How many people?
This time is 18. Normally it's 16.
Normally 16.
Yeah.
If you get voted off the first court... What the hell they call it?
Tribal council?
Tribal council. First tribal council, you get voted off. What do you get?
Well, in the regular season, the person got $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
Was that their total pay for the whole thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
But
for the All-Stars, they upped everything.
Now, what was
All-Star?
I
don't even know if I could tell you.
Why not?
I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about the money part of it.
Well, they didn't tell you not to say anything, did they?
I don't know. It could be in that big fat contract I signed.
Well, you can't say anything about who won or anything like that. But we know the winner gets $1 million.
Yeah.
Well... It wouldn't hurt to have people know what 10th place gets.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
What did 9th place get?
That's a better question.
You know what? I'm not going to answer that.
Well, tell you what.
How much do you make, Adam?
Tell us. What do you want to know? What
this
show?
Is where you guys parted ways last time.
We had a big argument over this last time.
Do you remember this?
It was, wasn't it?
You
still can't stop thinking about money.
People call me and ask me, what'd you get paid for this commercial? What do you get paid for this? What'd you get paid for that?
Them?
Yeah, I tell them.
Really?
Why not?
I don't know. I'm like one of those people that gets very uncomfortable when someone starts talking money to me.
I know. A lot of people are that way, and people seem to just respect it, but I think it's ridiculous. So who cares?
Well,
we know what the guy made. You know the winner gets $1 million. Does in second place gets 500? You don't have to give us all the place.
I don't know. This time it's totally different for the All-Stars. I know that they had to give us...
Just tell us what 10th place makes. That'll be somewhere in the middle.
I honestly don't know.
Well, give us a ballpark of 10th place. Come on.
The last place is not $2,500.
Yeah, that's what we've learned in the last 20 minutes.
And first place is $1 million.
I already knew that. Just give us the middle. Give us the middle price.
I'm not.
How much does it drop down? What, 80 grand?
I mean, is it a percentage drop each time?
There's some sort of system they have set up.
Get on the internet and see if you can find this stupid question.
I just did that for the last 5 minutes.
And?
$2,500, like she said, for the first one voted off, and $100,000 for, this is Africa, for the second to last person.
Yeah, that was...
And they won't divulge anything else.
Yeah. $100,000 for the second to last?
Right.
You mean the second place?
Second place, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, second place is $100,000 normally. It goes from $1 million down to $100,000?
Then right. Africa.
Yeah.
So probably
yeah, that's right, because Colby gave away $900,000.
It probably goes 250, 200 bucks. Right. Once every 5 or 50.
All right. We were going to play a song, by the way, from Jerry's Man. Yeah.
Adam.
Hey, it's not my thing.
All right, well, we can talk about it on this side.
Maybe
how about
we'll
that?
Talk. Maybe. We'll see what kind of
mood you're
in.
So
it's
mean.
Not, it's just not what I do. You gotta respect it.
You're not gonna play my band song
maybe.
Now?
Maybe. We might. You gotta respect it. You gotta respect my feelings on this. Thank you. David?
Yeah.
Germany or Florida?
Oh, it's Germany or Florida. This is a game. I'm surprised it didn't even... It probably made it to the Survivors.
I'm sure Panama, they've got this all over.
This game is sweeping the country.
What is it?
It's called Germany or Florida. Don't pretend like you haven't heard of it.
I know, I haven't.
This is... What an actress. Here's the thing. All bizarre stories, all acts of evil, bizarre evil, crime, the macabre, the occult, they come from either Germany or Florida. We hear the story, and then we guess. Is it Germany or Florida? David?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. An artist has applied a license to open a brothel for sexually frustrated dogs and says it will be the first of its kind anywhere. Artist, who's 54, said he planned to charge dog owners a reasonable amount of money per half an hour of happiness. If dogs can't get what they want, they get cranky, just like people, he told reporters. This establishment would offer patrons a variety of carefully vetted participants of both sexes, rooms for private encounters, and even a bar where customers could sniff out preferred partners.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Private encounters, like a dog. Dog, by the way, who rolls in his own ass in front of a group of nuns, needs his own place to get his work done.
I gotta go with Germany.
I'm with you on that. Put through the language here, the customers, the vetted customers, and
Said an appropriate amount of money, which may have been his twist on it. This whole, by the way, the whole game has been destroyed by us just listening to the dialogue and trying to figure out clues from the story rather than hearing what the essence of the story was.
The essence still goes Germany. We try to both.
Yeah, I feel Germany on this. We're all going Germany?
Yeah, I'm going Germany.
David, Germany.
Yeah, I was Germany.
There we go.
Yay.
You guys always get it.
We got burned yesterday. Now, was there a price that this was going to cost the pet owners, and did you modify that or change that?
It said $27.
For a half hour?
He wasn't going to give us that might have made us err on the side of Florida.
Yeah.
$27.
I know, but wouldn't that be part of his...
To try to pull us off the track?
She said $27?
Yeah. He's being fair to us, though.
Oh, all right.
It could be the euro dollar.
God bless you, David.
Ooh, good point.
Are they doing the euro? I don't think... Are the Germans going with the euro?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they are?
Unfortunately, yeah. I grew up in Germany.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You're
that's why
Germany brat.
Anytime there's a brothel involved, it's Germany.
Oh, really? You have lots of them?
It's legal, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Prostitution's legal.
In Germany?
Really?
Mm-hmm. I didn't... You know, you don't hear about
houses.
It.
Poof houses?
Yeah, that's the slang term.
you don't hear about Germany and the brothels.
No,
that
you've heard Dutch and Amsterdam and that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, they test the women frequently, so it's safe.
Yeah, it's
I guess
weird.
France has it sort of legal, too.
Yeah, Paris. Europeans are very open-minded about that.
Well,
about nipples and things like that.
Yeah, we had to bleep out the word nipple,
by the
way.
I know.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
No.
I'm like, okay, it's just getting a little ridiculous.
I know the whole thing about the brothels, like Germany, is it spiraling out of control because of the brothels? You know what I mean?
And there's no drinking age.
No, there isn't.
And you know what? I got to tell you, growing up over there, there were fewer issues with people drunk in public places.
Well,
they were always the Americans.
Germany makes a couple of good points, which is... No speed limit on the Autobahn, less highway fatalities than we have.
Mm-hmm.
So the essence, like, we sort of think, well, look, speed equals death, and age of consent equals alcoholism, and brothels equal more prostitution and stuff. As it turns out, it's probably just a better idea to sort of educate it and control it a little bit. Because what kid out here doesn't have his first beer by 15 anyway,
right,
by the way? The 21 just means you got to get one of your brother's older buddies to go buy yourself a sixer of Mickey's.
And then you've got that whole thing about you feel like you're doing something bad, and then you go into that cycle of behavior.
Well, it is alluring if you think about it. Kids don't like the taste of beer. I mean, beer tastes horrible. Now it's my medicine. As a matter of fact, Chris, give me a cold one, would you, buddy? We're almost at the halfway point of the show. The thing is beer tastes really bad up until the age of, like, even up until your early 20s is when you, and at a certain point, you turn the corner and you need it. But, wine, beer, wine doesn't taste, red wine, a bottle of stout, ale, doesn't taste good to a 14-year-old. You slug it down and make a face. Yeah. I don't think you would do that. You know, if it's legal, would you put a, you know, would you hold your nose and shoot it down?
And the kids that do it, like the German kids that start drinking at an early age, if they get sick once, like I met this German kid, he was like, oh, I got sick. And I was like 12 and I haven't had anything to drink since.
Hmm. All right. He was 13.
Yeah.
They were drinking. Well, actually, does vodka rectally now. He won't drink it. Absolutely not.
We can't judge.
All right. We're not going to judge.
It's all good.
All right. We got to take ourselves a little break. We're going to break on time this time. What do you want to talk to? Navy wife guy?
Two.
Oh,
no, three, I beg your pardon.
Three? How about you read it, Drew? Why do I got to do
Folks
everything?
Folks were in a cult. Brother
Ooh.
Fingered her at age five.
Ooh.
Now... problems.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, hold on. Let me just talk to her. Amy?
Oh, yes.
Was it a religious cult?
Yes, it was called the Children of God, known as the Family also.
Sure.
By David Byrd. He, like, was the main guy that started everything. My parents
Did he do something weird to you?
Yeah, my brother did. And I think that is the reason why I can't climax when I do intercourse with my boyfriend. I've been with him for 2 years.
All right. Hold on now, baby doll. You got to take a break. Yes?
Okay.
We'll
come right back.
Just hang on. We'll take a break. We'll be right back, all right?
All right.
I'm going to talk to you. Yeah, I've been doing a little cult research. I mean, not actually research, but watching TV sometimes. Something comes on about a cult. And I've really distilled it. All cults are basically white dudes in their late 40s, early 50s who want to nail chicks.
That's it, period.
It's it. Every single one of them turns into, they get a bunch, it's sort of a Charles Manson thing. You get sort of disenfranchised, screwed up.
It's Rasputin, too.
Abuse victims. Mm-hmm. And you get them in, and they come in, and then at a certain point, once they believe you're sort of God or you're the mouthpiece of God, it starts coming into, I'm going to need you to drop off your 13-year-old daughter, and I'm going to nail her, and then I'm going to nail your sister. And then it's always sexual. And this is why it's always guys who run cults, by the way. There's no fat 50-year-old chick lesbo who runs a cult. It's the same dude, and it always always turns into an orgy.
Mm-hmm.
It no one ever really talks about it, but that's all it is. And it's about nailing tons and tons of young chicks and nailing everyone's daughters.
Abuse survivors.
Yeah, it's just abuse survivors. Mm-hmm. That's really what it is. Yeah. And whenever they do these shows on like 2020 stuff, it's always he said this, he did. And they sort of brush past the sexual part of it, but that's really the engine that drives the cult, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
Got to start a cult. Gonna start
one. No.
Got to get some land. Get some land. Build on it.
A big barn, too.
Build a barn on
it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's never name a guy going out. Yeah.
Change your name to Hezekiah.
Hezekiah. That's
Hezekiah.
Good. All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break.
I do appreciate you trying to break on time,
though. I'm breaking early. Yeah. I'm breaking early. We got to break early. That's Engineer Anderson. Needs us to break early.
Yeah.
Only time he cares about the show. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Love line, man. That's Dr. Drew.
What you tell those letter writers to do, Adam?
Wow. Suck my sack.
All you letter writers.
Yes.
Adam's got something to tell you.
Yeah. Suck my white balls.
Wow.
That was Kennedy.
Oh, wow. Jerry Manthe here from Survivor, my favorite show. Just having a nice spirited conversation during the break there about what everyone has to do to the people who write letters. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Drew, our policy's always been just to kiss our ass when everyone writes us a letter, right?
That tends to be our policy. Yeah.
And everyone goes away, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Very good. I wish more people would adopt that policy. Yes?
Mm.
All right. Amy?
Oh, yes.
All right. So, 17.
Mm-hmm.
Did you grow up in a cult?
Oh, yeah. My parents were in it for 22 years.
Wow.
And we just moved to America 7 years ago.
Oh. Where
were they?
Oh, we traveled, like, everywhere. We spent the last 5 years in France.
Mm. With this cult?
Yes. Well, yeah, it traveled everywhere, and also my mom was French, so.
Mm. Oh, wow.
How did they get out of this thing?
After a while, like, my dad was the one that was in it at first, and then, like, he pressured my mom into it, and it was a lot different back in the day, I guess, but it slowly changed, and they were just brainwashed, and And then my mom just said if they don't leave, that she would just take all the kids anyways, because if they get raided, they get the kids taken away anyways. So she said that she was going to report it if he didn't get out. So he realized. And then once a couple years after that, they like kind of realized a lot of things that were bad to it once they got some sanity, but they're still really messed up.
Mm-hmm. Horrible. And then there was sexual abuse going on in the house.
Yes, by my brother and several of my sisters. I have a really big family.
How many kids?
I have 5 sisters and 2 brothers.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah, and then I have another brother I never met before because of this call. My parents were like, they believed that you couldn't be, it was selfish to keep your, to share each other and not share each other. So all the, it was against God's rules to be selfish. So all the adults just kind of, yeah.
Got it on?
Yeah, with each other. My brother has a different dad too because of that.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
I told
God.
You this is. It's like just call it an orgy and stay where you are. No one should.
It's a harem.
Yeah, but there's dudes getting in there too. It sounds like on this cult, was the cult leader having sex with people?
Oh, there was lots of different leaders. Like the main guy was David Bergen. He was just the one that sent us like all the flyers and what we should do and stuff, like all the books and stuff to all the different cults and movies.
Seems like, by the way, how about just going down to the Oriental Massage and getting a quick release, you know?
Yeah, why get all those other people involved?
It's like a nightmare. It's what a pain in the ass would be to start. Drew, you know what a horrible cult leader I would be? I'd come out, I'd be tired, I'd be like, oh, you guys still here? Listen, I'm going to watch some TiVo. You guys do what you got to do. Look, if you're here when I'm done, so be it.
Now, Amy, your original question was, is this have anything to do with why you don't have orgasmic intercourse now? And at 17, 80, 90% of women do not have orgasm with intercourse.
80, 90, and then it drops up to, it goes up to 100%.
A significant percentage.
When they get into their 20s, right? And then higher than 100%, I found, as they get into 30s.
Yeah, and maybe over half of women will never have an orgasm with intercourse.
Isn't that sad?
Well, yes or no. I mean, the fact is, not necessarily. How about the fact that that's how women are wired and men are taught that that's how it works, they need to attend to some other thing.
That's right.
I think men are slowly becoming more educated.
Well, you know what? It's like women don't talk about it. That's what's really sad.
I think things are changing.
They are.
Slowly, thank God, because it, you know, sex should be just as enjoyable for a woman.
But women were feeling flawed. They couldn't have orgasmic intercourse when they're not wired to do that.
Cherry, she's a woman of passion. Yes. Extreme passion.
I don't do anything half-ass.
No.
No.
Yeah. You go 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And Drew.
100%.
He should have a deodorant named after him.
110%.
He's 110, 120%. Yeah. He never stops working. And the more pressure the situation, the better he is. That's when he's activated. His penis gets activated by pressure. All right. Hey, Amy.
Yes.
Are you getting some counseling for all the horrible years you've spent at the hands of the cult leader?
Oh, yes. We've been through lots of family therapists. Like, it doesn't work.
Well, it will. It will.
How about
it's
just
slow.
For you, Amy, just some stuff?
Yeah.
I don't even live with my parents anymore. It's not, like, I don't have a close relationship with them, and I don't really want to.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Do you have any close friends, like, other girls?
I have my boyfriend. I've been with him for the last 2 years, and that's who I live with now. So
how old is he?
He's 18, yeah. Oh. I live with him and his parents. And
All right. But don't get pregnant.
I know.
I'm feeling overwhelmed by these stories tonight for some reason.
Yeah.
Is it just me?
Is it this one?
No, you know, I've been busy at the hospital all day. That's what it is.
All right, buddy. Hey, Amy?
Yes. I was just wondering if there's, like, anything I could do to help it, or...
Are you crying? It sounds like you're crying every time you
talk. No. No, I mean, like, is there anything, like, I can do to change
no.
the way...
Look, here's what you got to do. Don't put the screws to yourself, pardon the pun.
Oral
sex. Too much pressure on yourself. Yeah, oral sex.
Get a Kama Sutra book and make your boyfriend read it.
Yeah. You can get the pop-up version. I got that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, the oral sex. Right, Jerry?
Very important.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Jerry's a woman of passion, Drew.
I know. You're formulating a sort of a byline.
Yeah. Well, we got
passion,
this theory. Drew has a theory that the people of supreme passion, the true purveyors of passion, like Drew over here. Oral sex, it's okay, but it's sort of the salad before the
the main course.
Tri-tip shows up. Yeah, you want to get to the meat, you know what I mean, because Drew's that passionate. Whereas,
that's the male, though. That's
the male.
Yeah.
But you have a theory about that with women, too.
That there's something similar, similar wiring thing. Yeah. That we were trying to...
And by the way, it makes sense. If a woman can have an orgasm through intercourse and really, really enjoys that, you can enjoy oral sex, but let's get to the good stuff. Yes?
Yeah. I mean, well, an internal orgasm for a woman is 1,000 times more intense.
Mm-hmm. For some women.
All right. We got it. Drew.
No, really. For some women, not.
We got to take a break. I'm going to leave you
for
to
Jerry,
alone.
It is.
I'll let you guys talk. Okay?
Let's go.
All right.
I feel very lucky, Sid.
Well, I won't say what the tenth person makes 45K, but the internal orgasm, never ending. Can't get her to shut up about that. Very interesting. All right, we're going to take a little break. Jerry Manthe here from Survivor. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jerry Manthe here tonight from Survivor. Survivor All-Star.
The new improved Survivor.
What are they going to do? Where are they going next with Survivor?
I have no idea, but I know they've already cast Survivor 9 and Survivor 10's already been ordered.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's just going to keep going and going until somebody dies, quite frankly. I think it's going to get to that point.
I totally agree with you. That's what's going to stop it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a miracle that no one has so far.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some serious injuries, but...
Mm-hmm.
We still don't know. Sue may have her brain eaten out by the
parasite. Yeah.
And Rudy. Rudy drank the well water, too.
Yeah.
Rudy's that fine. Guy is hardcore. Mm. Did you guys have him on your show?
No.
Oh,
no.
You should. He
called Drew a queer and stormed out of here. He didn't like the frames on his glasses.
Hardcore for what?
He's just hardcore. He's like 75.
Yeah, yeah.
He used to be a Navy SEAL. And the whole time out there, regardless of how difficult it was, he never complained once.
I'm sure.
I mean, and he was hurt when he left. He had hurt his foot, and he refused to let anybody know.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was just like, he wouldn't stop.
Well, you know, he comes from a time, and now we should talk about this, that guys weren't really supposed to complain.
Right.
You know, they're supposed to be shot and, like, refuse help.
Yeah.
Now everyone wants to sue everybody because they dumped a little cup of soup on their nards while they were driving out of the 7-Eleven. I mean, guys have become pussies, like flat-out pussies. They never were before. They are. I don't know if it's, you know, video games or attorneys or guys are
money.
Turning into internet. Guys are turning into chicks all of a sudden.
It's money.
But it's not all. It's like the guys, a lot of guys I know. Guys I work with, they get angry when I talk about this. But they proudly boast that they couldn't change a tire on their car. Mm-hmm. They boast that they know nothing about, you know, fixing up a house or that they would get, you know, beat up if an assailant came in or something. It's this weird thing where guys used to at least have a little bravado about it where it'd be like, look, if we were the last people left on Earth, you'd want me in charge, that kind of thing. Now it's like guys sort of almost becoming like women saying, look, you know, if I don't have a laptop and a microwave, I'm no good to anybody.
You're being a little too disparaging of women. It's worse than that. You know what I mean? It's not that we're becoming women. We're just becoming soft.
Yeah,
which is nice on one hand, but I got to tell you, honestly, as a woman, I think it's hot when I know a guy can take care of me if we get a flat, or if the doorknob in the bathroom is broken, he can fix it. Like, power tools and guys are a great mix.
Well, you know, I think guys think, I mean, I think the idea of a successful guy now is, you know, I got AAA, I got the car in my wallet, I'll call the AAA guy, I've arrived, I'm not going to get up in there and you know, dent a cuticle. It's almost a little bit of a royalty thing too. Like, look, I don't want to get down on my knees in the dirt and, you know, bust my knuckles trying to free up a seized lug nut.
If there's a little bit of unwillingness to grow up kind of piece of this.
Well, maybe it's maybe I got that element. Maybe that element's worked in too. Yeah. I'm just saying. And women, too, by the way, And don't defend him. Now, leave him alone. Women used to, I think, take a little more pride in the, I can whip up a meal fit for a king from just a scratch. It's in the refrigerator and do a little mending on the trousers, too. Women,
I do that.
Yeah, well, you're a Renaissance woman.
A passion.
Women now look at that as being some sort of a subservient or something, and guys look at it as low rent if, you know.
So it's really, you're right. That's probably where it's all coming from, that we're supposed to be the same, and yeah, we're all the same in our just nothingness.
Yeah, but here would be a better idea. How about we all learn, how about guy learns to fix a car and sew? Instead, we've just decided all just be blank
right.
slates.
That's right.
And all just, we'll just...
Pay someone else to
we'll
do it.
We'll just sit on the computer and, we'll get a couple illegals in, and they can do the cooking and change the tires. That's what it's turned into. All right.
Sad times.
Very sad. Sad times. Very good. Very poignant from a passionate, passionate woman. Kat?
Hi.
You're 26?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, I have two different incidents that happened to me with gynecologists.
Ooh.
One was when I was about... I'm saying about 20 years old. I remember being very uncomfortable because the gynecologist, it was a woman, and, you know, it was my second time going to a gynecologist, and it was just for a regular pap smear, and she stuck her finger up my butt.
Right, doctors are trained to do that. That's part of the pelvic exam.
Yeah,
but I've never had any.
Well, then your doctors were actually doing incomplete exams without that.
How about a little heads up though before you get the digit up the rectum?
It might because, but there's there are multiple
little lube, and for me like a glass of Chardonnay or maybe even a hug.
There are multiple anatomic like structures that you can only feel that way.
It's not comfortable for sure.
It's not comfortable.
It is
but know that the guys get it every year too.
Does it go in the butt?
They're supposed to anyway, and they get other. But you know, you can't. There's a septum between the vagina and the rectum where tumors can occur. You can't feel it behind the ovaries quite the same way as through the rectum, unfortunately, and that's part of the exam.
Let me. You know, I was thinking. You think there's ever been a gynecologist who puts his patients out and then starts working on their teeth? You know, just a twist on the naughty dentist. Somewhere there's got to be some guy with like a who you know some sort of tooth obsession who's a gynec. No. Would be an interesting twist. Right, hey, Kat?
Yeah.
All right. So
what was your other question?
Let's chalk that one off the list.
Okay.
And by the way, you couldn't have sussed that one out? I mean, like, talked to some of your friends or gone on the internet and figured it out?
Well, I just kind of forgot about it. You know, I just...
What was your other question? What was the other thing?
My other question was I went to the hospital for a really bad stomach pain, which afterwards I found out it was stress, but... the doctor there, I told her, you know, I might have something wrong with how do you say it?
Urethra?
Urinary tract?
Yeah, or something. So,
Which one was it?
Urinary tract.
I can't say it.
Well, just agree then.
All right, so what happened?
Okay, so, usually they put KY jelly, right? KY, yeah. You know, to put that metal thing in you know, and open you up and stuff.
Yeah.
The speculum, yeah.
Yeah, what's that thing you're holding to your face and talking into right now? What would you call that?
The cell phone.
Phone? All right. I'm trying to figure out your
where the threshold is. Yeah, where's the threshold for trouble?
I got phone.
Yeah, okay. Why are you acting stupid like that?
So they didn't use lubricant for the speculum exam.
She massaged my clitoris.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, she massaged me. She told me that she's all, well, you're dry, so I'm going to massage you.
Wow. Yeah, that's not normal.
Wow. No way.
Yeah.
No way did that happen.
Yeah, no, it did.
Usually they just spit. I mean, that's how you spit.
Well,
lick it and stick it.
Because she stuck, you know, two fingers in my, you know, and...
Okay, Kat, here's the deal. were sexually abused growing up, weren't you?
Me.
Listen. What happened to you growing up? You were sexually abused?
Oh, my God. No.
Huh?
No.
Nothing like that happened growing up?
Okay, maybe.
Okay, but listen, you're experiencing, Kat, every pelvic exam as
sexual abuse.
Yeah, as a reliving, a revivification of the abuse. And the fact is, the people are just doing their job. They're just they're not interested in you sexually. They're just doing what they have to do to keep you safe medically.
You know what I bet? I bet she was beaten with a thesaurus.
Speculum.
But something has turned her off to verbiage.
But listen, Kat, there's no way that's what happened. That's, right, I understand, so that's Kat, what you experienced. That's what you believe
happened. Who abused you?
No, I was not sexually, like, intercourse. What was done to you?
Things put in you, probably.
Yeah,
no,
fingers,
no, nothing
grabbing.
Nothing put in me, nothing
what
put
happened?
In me. I just remember my stepfather, like, playing with my nipples when I was seven.
Yeah.
But
That's good and weird. All right, but what about this theory? More just inappropriate. Everyone around her does something inappropriate.
Yeah, she's interpreting everything as an intrusion.
Yes.
Everything is somebody trying to exploit her.
How about some therapy for stepdad?
Oh, I do.
Okay,
right, then
good.
Talk to your therapist about what happened, both with your stepdad and with these caretakers. Certainly it should be reported if your therapist thinks it's appropriate.
Yes. Okay, so now here's... And I was just hearing about, Drew and I talking about this Kobe trial every once in a while. And this, every time we speak to someone like this, this is what reminds me of it, which is if your cat, anybody who comes in contact with you, it is perceived as abuse.
Or attack or rape or something.
Right.
And yet victims like Kat tend to attract the victimizers too.
So it's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell which was which.
Right.
Whether it's her experience of something that was innocent, or did she really attract a perpetrator?
Yeah, after a while, it just, you know, you get stuff like the finger in the ass, and it turns out. And by the way, they're not interested in pursuing the truth, which is, hey, my gyno just put a ring finger in the tuk eye. Hey, Susie from down the street, you've been to the gyno. Is this on the menu, or is this special order?
No, in the meantime, she spent 7 years feeling victimized.
Right, instead of just, she could get on the internet and get the answer to her question in a matter of seconds, or talk to a couple other women who've undergone the same procedure and find out it was fine. She's not interested in that. She'd rather be a victim for the next 7 years, and probably isn't going to listen to whatever Drew said about the appropriate part about that being part of the gynecological exam. But as this pertains to Kobe, is if you're with somebody who experiences every encounter as abuse or rape, then Kobe, and I don't know what he did, but there's a good chance if she had the kind of history that someone like this had, whenever someone is with them, that's how it goes down in their book. Mm-hmm. And so it's confusing to the guy. It's like, what do you mean? We had a good time.
Well, it's even more confusing because very often women like that will be alluring. They will actually, unknown to themselves, will be surprised when they get themselves in situations that they brought on, so to speak. They didn't ask. They didn't know they were asking for it, but they did.
Right, and then it becomes
a victimization to them, and so it's. And then, but again, the hard part is they attract the victimizers. That's the crazy
right.
thing.
Right. So you never know. You never know for sure.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that Kobe probably not your typical rapist. Not the kind of guy who hides in the bushes at the park. You know what I'm saying? And. Probably capable of having consensual sex with strange women on the road.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm sure in his mind this went down as just another marital infidelity. And when you start scratching beneath her surface and looking into her past a little, maybe it seems more like that's more the way it went, and she was a little more like Kat who just called in. By the way, in court, all this stuff is inadmissible, or oftentimes is. Like, hey, the fact that, O.J. had been beating the crap out of Nicole for the last 10 years, inadmissible. Really?
That's disturbing.
Yeah, if you were the lawyer that was defending Kat's gynecologist, I would want this to be, it's very admissible. I mean, it's very germane to the case. Is
yet,
it not? It's all they have.
And yet Rush Limbaugh has to expose his medical records, which are irrelevant to what he was doing. He's been caught doing what he did. He's
right.
An addict. Of course he shopped around. Every addict does that.
Right.
And his medical records, I'm not to defend Rush as in any other way except than to say that guy's medical records is the one that have to be opened?
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It is, if whether you have a long history of beating your wives, or you were an abuse victim and had been through many other cases like this or situations like this, Of course you need to know that going into this case. Doesn't mean you weren't raped, and it doesn't mean you killed this wife, but it sure helps. It really does. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. To me, that's all the case. That's half the case,
yeah.
Isn't it? It's like,
they always say the circumstances are what count. It's not whether somebody actually was found with the gun or confessed. It's what are the circumstances?
What's the motive? Yeah. I mean, all those 911 calls of Nicole crying, yelling, he's going to kill me. Go ahead and factor that in.
It affects how I feel about it. I don't know about anybody else.
Any other human being would. Yeah. That's right. All right. But on the good side, too.
Worry. We're going to catch the killer. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. No.
We got him.
He's on it. Yeah. He's in a sand bunker somewhere on Pebble Beach.
Yeah, they're getting him. Looking for him. Yeah.
The point, but also, you should be able to use your ex-wife who you never beat.
Right.
You know, she should say, oh, no, this guy never raised a hand. I got drunk and punched him in the stomach once. He didn't raise a hand to me. Mm-hmm. Use that, right? Because that's all you need to know.
It's
all you need to know. All right. Let's hop back to the phones. We'll speak to Dustin, who's 19. Dustin?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
I was just kind of wondering, got a question for Dr. Drew, I guess. If there's any permanent effects of opiate use?
Well, one of the reasons opiates are so popular as a pain medication is they don't hurt anything. They leave the body essentially unaffected by their analgesic or pain-relieving properties. The problem with opiates are that for genetically prone individuals, they trigger the most severe and life-threatening forms of addiction. So if you're using opiates, what?
So it's the addiction that's the... That's the bad thing about opiates.
That is really the only bad thing to speak of, really is of significance. But the addiction will kill you. And
right.
I'm not talking about dependency, and I'm not talking about withdrawal. I'm talking about the alteration of the drive systems of your brain such that when you try to stop using opiates, it will change everything. Everything you think, everything you feel, and the total priority of every shred of impulse in your body will be to get back on drugs, even when you know you absolutely shouldn't.
Exactly. And how long does that last?
The rest of your life.
So the rest.
That's why you have to be in treatment.
Maybe longer.
You have to be
treated.
We
don't know what happens after you die.
It has to be treated.
It could be longer.
It must be treated, Dustin. You've got to get in a program.
It could be fixed by treatment, though, even if it permanently affects the way your brain
works?
Yes,
that's what we do in treatment, is change all that.
All right, cool. All right.
He's calling from,
What's that?
So that's what I wanted to know.
Great. Good
All right,
times.
Buddy boy.
Good luck.
Good right, luck.
Thanks.
He's calling from Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
I picture treatment centers, just like a guy passing a cider jug around to people, like maybe a little picking and grinning.
Looking out across a sea of those big, what are those things called, those big rodents?
Yeah. Oh, Nutria.
Nutria running around the backyard there.
Yeah. Shots going on.
Nutria?
Yeah. Yeah, big rats.
Huge, like size
huge
of
rats.
Like mountain lions. How big are those
Not
things?
That big.
They
get bigger every time you tell the story.
They're like raccoons.
Yeah, I think they're raccoon size.
Yeah.
Put
the
it
size
this
of
way.
Tigers.
Those are raccoons.
They were going to use them for their pelts, and then they got out of control. It's a cool story.
They've taken over New Orleans.
Oh, my God.
You know what this?
It's a good story. It's a good time. And you shoot them. And you get
and they
a buck.
Pay you. Yeah, they pay you for them.
Well, buck a head.
They pay you to shoot them?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to bring back their skins or something?
No, they take your word for it. I shot 100 million of them over the weekend. No, check's good. I'll take it. you got to show them something.
Good grief.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy's just driving around shooting at them. It's good times, though. I mean, they're really like, here's the thing. Everyone wants to shoot. You know, it's a fun idea to blow something's head off. The problem is... you don't want to, a bear is so majestic, and then, the elk and the moose, it's no good. And then
the odds are against them, too.
Rabbits are kind of cuddly and stuff, and then raccoons don't seem like a good thing to shoot because, they use their hands like we do, and they got those
little kids.
They got those kids and stuff to hang with them. So you got to, here's the whole thing. It's like, I would like to shoot stuff, but I can't find anything good to shoot, but like Nutria, I could shoot.
Because they're disgusting.
Yeah, it's really? Like it's like a. Well, first off, it's okay to shoot ugly stuff. There's one thing I've learned. It's okay to be mean to fat people, and it's okay to shoot ugly stuff. Well, I think we've all learned that as a society. Because really, the difference between rabbits and nutria is one is ugly. Really? And it
cute.
And one's cuddly, and it's perfectly fine to shoot the ugly one. And the ugly one deserves to die. I mean, you got to be punished. How are you going to learn your lesson about being ugly? You know what I'm saying?
By killing it.
Yeah, well, if you do think about it, philosophically, if you think about the way we treat, like, insects, like, you know, ladybug versus a cockroach, and, you know, insects are all basically insects. They don't do any good, and they don't do any harm, and some are worse than others, but cockroach never killed anybody. They're just ugly.
Horrible. And they carry disease.
Those centipedes you have in your house, too, they disgust me.
They always say cockroaches.
I have moths.
They always say cockroaches carry disease, but probably about as much as any other animal that's
probably
crawling around your house.
Than your hands.
Ew!
Yeah, your hands
really?
Carry.
Yeah.
A cockroach?
Yeah.
That's my point.
Okay.
My point,
I get your disgusting
My point is cockroaches need to die and butterflies need to be admired. I don't think anyone, either one of them, is any inherently better than the other. It's just one is very ugly and needs to die. And nutria need to die, and bunny rabbits need to live.
At least you'd make a really nice coat out of a rabbit.
Yeah, or at least use it to line some gloves or something. But now taking that mindset, now let's focus on humans. Wow, now it's a little scary, isn't it?
Yes, the human brain is scary.
Thank you.
Especially right. Yours, Ed.
But you guys could all live because you're beautiful. I would let you stay.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I give myself a pass, too, because it was my idea. Chris, we need to talk.
Oh, yeah. No.
No, we need to talk.
That is wrong.
All right. We're going to take a break.
Let's go.
You want to... As a matter of fact, Chris, show Drew how to run the board real fast.
I know. I used to run the board. Remember?
Oh, you okay?
Yeah, it's all right.
Great.
Shh, shh, shh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Jock Lounge. I want to talk. Okay. All right. Jerry Manthey here tonight from Survivor. We'll take a quick break. We'll hear something from Jerry's band.
All right.
Yeah.
After this as well. All after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jerry Manthey here tonight from Survivor. You also remember her from The Surreal Life, which is a show I enjoyed immensely.
Aw.
Yeah.
It was a fun one, wasn't it?
It was. The first season. Second, I didn't get as...
It was scary, that second season.
It seemed to have lost its allure somehow. But I really did enjoy the first season with Jerry.
The second season was a bunch of freaks.
Yeah.
It was scary.
I think they tried to up the ante a little bit and... It lost its charm. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam.
There's going to be a third one.
Well, yeah.
Let's take one call and then hear a Jerry Manthey song.
yeah. I tell you, caught a little buzz this afternoon, I got to be honest with you. Yeah. Yeah.
You're good this way. It's good. We do that again? I'd rather you, since I know you're drinking a bottle of wine every night, you might as well dose up before you get here if it helps your attitude.
Let me tell you.
You seem very mellow.
Yeah.
He does. He's good tonight.
I had a mellow. Attended two weddings today.
What?
Two weddings.
My
weekday weddings?
Weekday.
Who's that?
People are still getting married.
No, because I'm filming this ABC special, and as part of it, there's weddings. And so I had to sort of preside over, I had to make the toast at two of these weddings, by the way.
Did you have to write them?
What do you mean write? Oh, I don't write anything.
You had to toast people you didn't know?
Yeah, two
of them. They didn't hand you a written toast.
No, but the point is yeah, nice, you know, drinking a little white wine, a little champagne, and times two weddings this afternoon.
Wow.
A little afternoon buzz. I'll tell you, not bad. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, drinking grain alcohol or something.
Yeah, that is good, Adam. But
as long as you don't lay down for a nap.
A little white wine.
Oh, he got his nap in.
I can use a little white wine.
You got your nap in, too, didn't you?
I'm starting to like the white, you know.
During the day, when the light's up.
Oh, no, I didn't get home until almost 8 o'clock.
But during the day, when the sun was up, you were drinking the white wine.
Yeah, yeah. This is my point. This could be my new schedule. Couple glasses of white wine, you know, around 11, depending on when I get up. 11:30, 12, a brunchish glass of white wine. Just take the edge off.
Mimosas are good.
And a little, you know, I had a couple sangrias and stuff. I don't need to dilute things. Just a little champagne or a little white wine during the day, and then off to the red wine in the later evening.
Red wine will put you to sleep.
That's right. That's right. And the white wine, just it feels good. Coasting.
It's a bit zestier.
Coasting right through the day. Coasting. Anna?
Yes.
And I'm a better man for it. Yes, Drew?
You are. I think that you've been working every day, and yesterday I thought that was going to be it. You were going to make it another
one. It'll be a horrible boom, right?
But then today is good.
Boost up.
Good. Now I know why these husbands and wives of their alcoholic spouses, they keep them loaded.
Sure.
They're a little better.
Yeah.
Until things get out of control.
And they put out.
Yeah, of course.
Anna?
Yes.
Bang the bejesus out of a cameraman. Didn't even know who he was. You're 22. What's going on?
Did he start with a behindman?
he broke my behindman, yes.
I have a bunch of questions, and it kind of all relates to
one. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was molested in grade school. I was in second grade, and it was a friend of my older brother, and he was in eighth grade.
Yes.
Did you say second grade you were in?
I was in second grade,
He was in eighth.
Yes. All right.
And after that, my whole attitude about everything changed. And I ended up gaining a lot of weight. I became very introverted. I used to be very talkative, extroverted, and then it just all switched. And I kind of went through phases of that. And then, well, obviously I gained a lot of weight in high school. And when I graduated from high school, things sucked. And I was in counseling all through high school, and I hated all my counselors.
Did you tell any of them about your abuse?
I did.
Okay.
A little bit. I never really talked about it.
All right.
Well, so then I started dating after high school, and a couple of my boyfriends, you know, I believe in not having sex until I'm married.
Uh-huh.
And I understand it's a big thing for guys not having sex. And some of them respected that, and my first boyfriend was very respectful. And when he broke up with me, he was like, well, you're the first girlfriend I've never had sex with, and whatever.
All right.
And I was like, okay.
All right. What's the question?
Well, how do I go about a relationship without having sex with a guy? I mean, I know I don't want to have sex, but how do you get a guy to understand that? I mean, not
obsessed with anal sex.
Hold on. Anna.
Yes.
Are you religious, or is this just a conviction?
It's both.
Okay.
Well, I am very religious, yes.
But this is a reaction to the trauma.
Yeah.
And this is a way of keeping people at arm's length so you can't be intimate. The problem is going to be when she does start having sex, a whole other series of horrible feelings are going to occur, and it's going to affect her ability to have a stable relationship in a marriage.
Yeah.
So it's about time you start dealing with this stuff now. It's really not about the sex. It's about the intimacy. And unless you do something about that, waiting till marriage is not going to avoid the kinds of problems that are ahead.
No. That's going to be a tough honeymoon,
now,
too.
In terms of finding guys that'll cooperate with this, you've got to find guys who value this same thing the way you do, or not guys who are reacting to trauma like you are. And that's going to be probably, when you say religious guys?
Mostly? Yeah, or guys who are gay, and you'll be just a beard for them.
Jeez.
Well, I mean, being realistic.
Wait, we say that again. What did you say about gay guys?
Well, gay guys who are looking for a beard...
Would love to be in a relationship with a woman without sex.
Yeah. Anna, you got to get some therapy.
Well, what kind of therapy do you suggest?
Just plain old individual psychotherapy, because you need to find a way to have intimacy again. This is not about the sex. I guarantee
you. Very insightful, Drew.
All right?
Okay. All right. I mean, I've been in therapy right now. I'm going to school for massage therapy, and it's very hard because we work on each other in class. And there's days where I'm on the table and I have partners, classmates that I'm really close with, and we're all in the same class. We've been together for the last 8 months, and I'm comfortable with them. But there's days where I'll just break down and cry on the table.
Okay. Well, that's all kind of positive, really.
Well, you got to go to therapy, too.
Yeah,
I hear that happens a lot in massage therapy.
Well, you got a lot of nut jobs attracted to the business, too. So, and by the way... this is what I can't stand about life, you know, the person that breaks down and, you know, they start crying and it's kind of weird. You know that weird work
thing? Yeah, but not like that. Then they have to go, you see, it's releasing the energy flow. It's like, no, she's reliving her sexual abuse from childhood. It feels like violated.
I just had a great idea, which is signing up for a massage therapy course and then coming in like 3 days into it with two casts on both hands.
Just take a massage.
And just say I was thrown off a horse. And basically I'm riding it out. And then now I just become the massage dummy. And I just lie there sipping my white wine. Getting massaged
all
for
day.
Like yeah, but like 9 hours a day,
drooling
just
on yourself.
Work. Yeah, and other people like okay, pig pile, nine of you, get on me, all of you. Yeah, and they all you know take a part. You know, for the final, they
why
all pick
a part.
Why not
just call that an orgy, Adam?
Well, but
how
okay.
dare you? How dare,
yeah,
you?
How dare you?
Actually, no,
how dare
a gangbang, I guess, would be better.
How dare you barge into my studio?
And attack your profession.
Verbally attack my profession. I know.
Let's listen to a song.
Okay.
And think about the massage.
Yes. Now, Jerry's got a band.
I am part of a 30-person band called The Mutator.
Wow. And how did that work? Do they know you're in the band?
Yes.
They do.
Because she's the one that throws fire.
Oh, yeah. Spin fire, yeah.
Oh, you do like the tiki torch where you like spin around?
No.
How do you do that?
It's called fire poi, and it's chains, and at the end is a ball of Kevlar that you dip in white
it's
gas.
Chains.
And then you spin, yes.
Is it the whole thing a chain with the two ends on it, or is there a solid part, a stick to it?
No, at the end is a loop that you put around your fingers, and that's what you hold it with.
Oh, that's the end.
Yeah, and
so
you
like
spin
key,
it.
Yeah, like a
keychain. It's a dance that actually began like in New Zealand with the Maori women.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to speak in public places, so they
Smart.
Started dancing with fire poi. And so yeah. Now it's, you know.
I would have told them to knock that off, too. Hey, by the way, ladies, by the way, don't answer, just nod. No fire either.
The band is called Mutator, mm-hmm. and our whole thing is that we mutate people when they come to see us.
Now, what does that mean?
They melt.
They turn into something?
Well,
you're
we're
gay.
So we're kind of, we're like Blue Man Group meets Stomp meets Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, really?
And it's fire performers, hula hoopers, aerial artists.
Now, are you singing as well, or just throwing fire around?
No, the fire performance is only a small part of it. There's a lot of things going on. People, when they are very overwhelmed when they come to see us because they don't, there's all these just beautiful things going on stage
wow.
and girls in really cool little costumes.
All right,
and
so you're basically saying drop some acid, come out to a mutator show. I'm reading between the lines.
We don't
here.
Judge.
Yeah. No, you got to get groovy, Drew.
Yeah.
And where might we see you?
We have a big show the 28th of May. At mm-hmm. the Key Club.
Key Club.
Yes.
All right.
And you can go to mutator.com, mutayto.com, and check out all of our...
And you, will you travel around with Mutator?
Yeah, we've played at Sundance. We just played Universal Studios. We've been in Vegas.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's hear a little sample. Now, what would you be doing now? Would there be...
I'm actually in this song drumming.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I play the djembe drums.
Is that the two or the one?
It's the one. It's
right?
a hand drum.
Is that the one we hear?
This. Yeah. That. Yeah, there's like over 50 drums in this band.
Oh my
wow.
God.
Yeah.
Did she say drunks?
Yeah. White wine drunks.
Yeah.
And all right, so in this song you're playing the drums.
Djembe drums, yeah.
Djembe drums.
Mm-hmm.
And then now who was singing?
Those are tracks that are brought in. There's two guys that have laptops,
uh-huh.
and they've layered all these different tracks of sounds and vocals.
So it's just sort of like a cosmic jam session
yeah.
for the senses?
Oh, it's amazing.
Wow. Yeah,
and but the crowd literally at the beginning of the night is just standing there. They don't know what to think, and by the end they're jumping up and down and screaming. And
it's like Burning Man or something.
That's where the band originated.
Oh, really?
How weird is that?
In 1999, yeah.
And
yeah.
You've not mentioned Burning Man in 5 years.
Yeah, probably brought it up once yeah. in the
Have you ever
9 years I've been here. No.
This will be my sixth year.
Oh, going to Burning Man?
Yeah, I go every year.
Wow. What do? You get naked and run around?
If you want. You can do whatever you want.
What's the funkiest, freakiest... And by the way, explain what Burning Man is, because we got a lot of people like in Ohio who don't know what that is.
Everyone will explain it differently.
Right.
Except for the Burning Man.
Yeah.
You can explain that so they understand what that is.
Well, it's basically a temporary city built in the middle of nowhere. There's like 30,000 people.
Middle
that
of the desert.
Up.
Arizona or something, right?
The, Nevada.
Right.
The most barren desert I've ever seen. There's like no rocks, no trees,
like
nothing.
Salt flats almost.
We build a city, and literally there's like a daily newspaper. There's like 40 radio stations that people broadcast from their tents.
How long are they there for, the city?
It's for a week. But there are people that are, like, right now planning this year's event already.
And it takes place in the summer or something?
Mm-hmm. The end of August, yeah.
It's got to be brutally hot.
It's very hot.
I mean,
and
that's part
of it. Storms, the environmental aspect of it is very challenging.
Well, you want people to walk around their underpants, Drew. You can't do it in December.
That makes sense.
You'd be smart.
Actually, you dehydrate faster when you're naked in the desert.
And there's a huge wooden man.
Yes, in the middle of the city, there's like a 5-story wooden man that at the end of the event, we burned down, and it's everybody's cheering.
And people show up in tents and trailers, Winnebagos, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then and at night, just bonfires and parties, and people sort of float from tribe to tribe, or how's it work?
It's set up literally with streets that are laid out with water trucks, and they... They mark, there's road signs, so
wow.
You have an address and everything. It's very well organized, and but it's
address.
The most freeing experience you'll ever
and
have.
You set up a tent.
If you want, you can bring a tent. Some people bring RVs. I prefer a tent.
I'll tell you my problem with this. It happens to me every time I go camping. There's always some a-hole who's a couple of campsites over. It's that dude who wants a beer and a hang. And because there's this sort of communal vibe, it's sort of like, hey, dude. And so they'll come over and they'll be like, hey, what's happening? I'm just a couple of whatever. And it always starts off cool. Like, hey, all right, what are you guys doing? Where are you guys from? Far out. And then the guy pulls up a log.
Yeah.
And 4.5 hours and 6 cases of your beer later, it's like getting to the point where you got to tell him, hey, get the F out of, you know, I didn't come to hang with your sorry ass out in the woods. No, but look, if the guy came around who was the coolest guy you ever met, but that doesn't happen. That guy doesn't show up. It's sort of moocher, burnout, is sort of, but a little angry, a little sense of entitlement. Also, may kill you with a spoon. Like, there's a little element of, is this guy fugitive or something? Like, I don't want to rub this guy the wrong way. Seems like we're getting along pretty good. I don't want to freak him out and tell him to get the hell out of here. But I imagine an entire city filled with these guys.
No.
Who want to just come and hang.
You will find the most intelligent, interesting people out there.
No weird moocher guy wants to eat your peyote drink your rye.
I mean, we're very big on being self-sufficient and being prepared because it takes so much energy to get out there and so much preparation that it kind of keeps the yahoos out. But there's always that element, a little bit of it, you know. But there are people that show up and build, like, huge bars. And
really?
It's fully stocked. And you get there and you don't spend any money. It's all about gifting.
How this guy just funds all this stuff himself? I mean, the guy who owns the bar?
Yeah, whoever. And
he's a cult leader. Adam,
how many years has this been going on?
I think it's been going on about 16 years, something
wow.
like that.
And so this will be your 7th year?
Yeah.
Far
Sixth
out.
6th year, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Freak out.
It's great.
All right.
But this band, the Mutators started out there. And
perfect.
We're like a big family.
And all right, now we got to take a break. But that sounded good. I like that. I mean,
thanks.
Good. And it's nice. I like it behind me when I'm talking.
In fact, it's better to walk behind you with that. Button,
yeah, it's been a little fire.
I'll get you a CD.
Please. We will take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Jerry Manthe here tonight.
Hello.
Burning woman, Jerry Manthe. Survivor and Surreal Life and Playboy and, what hasn't she done?
The Mutator.
And the Mutator.
And Extreme Dodgeball.
Extreme Dodgeball, which is coming up. Yeah. When is that going to air?
It starts June 15th at 10 p.m. on GSN.
No, wait. What's GSN?
It used to be called the Game Show Network, but now they don't like to be called that anymore.
Oh, I see. Let's go with GSN.
It's the WWF of dodgeball.
Yeah.
It's absolute insanity.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny. Dodgeball is one of those things they force you to stop playing at about the fourth or fifth grade.
I don't think they let people play anymore in school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
I think it's been ruled out.
No. Really? Well, Drew, what'd you just do to the mic?
I pulled it towards me.
Oh, okay. That you'd actually worked it like a speed bag. Drew punches the mic every night. No, here's what I'm saying. In public school, I don't know if they let you play dodgeball anymore. They certainly don't let you call it smear the queer.
Well, I guess they call it, butts up.
Butts up?
Yeah.
And is dodgeball what we used to call like soccer, where you put the teams on each side, the people in the middle, and they can rally, they can throw it over and try to pin a guy?
It's more or less like, in this situation, it's five people on each side of the court throwing the ball, trying to hit the other person.
Right.
And if you catch the ball, then that person who threw it is out.
Right.
And this one's got some really cool rules.
But
like,
they will throw the ball all the way over, try to get the herd going back and forth a little, won't they?
No. No, I think you're thinking Red Rover.
No, I'm thinking, I think I'm Socko.
Never heard of that.
Well, here's the thing. All right, let me just figure this out with dodgeball. You got teams.
Yeah.
You got the team that's inside dodging, and you got the team that's outside, right?
That's where we used to have it.
No, there's two teams that take opposite sides of the court. It's like on a basketball court, split in half, five on each side.
Right.
And they try to hit the other people on the other team. And
complex rule.
That's it. Oh, okay. All right. So just red team this side, blue team that side, and let's go at it.
This one is just, a twist on it because there's like sumo wrestlers playing against horse jockeys.
AIDS victims.
And
I don't know. That's what I was thinking thin people.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Survivors. I didn't mean survivor. And what's the winner get? Or can you tell us?
What?
They get money? They get a trophy? Yeah.
Yeah, it's $10,000.
Not bad for a game of dodgeball.
No.
I'm just saying, I think people would continue playing dodgeball. Like here's the thing. I was done with tetherball before it was done with me, but dodgeball I could have kept going with.
Yeah.
See, you stopped playing tetherball in the sixth grade. I was done with it in the fourth grade. Dodgeball, I could have kept going. I could still be playing dodgeball.
I'll see if I can get you on one of the teams.
See what you can do.
Radio DJs.
Pull a few strings. Pull a few strings. Karen?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
Ever since last October, I tried to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And the donor actually gave me chlamydia, which I got treated and taken care of.
Nice.
But what gave her chlamydia?
The donor.
The donor.
The breeder.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, so you had sex with a guy?
Yes.
You're a lesbian?
Yes.
Okay, so you had sex with a guy, and he just gave you... He didn't get you pregnant, but he gave you a venereal disease.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That'll keep you a lesbian.
All right.
It's interesting how she just... The one guy she does choose to have sex with is the guy that's unreliable, brutalized.
Yeah. All right, so now...
Yeah, and now I've been having irregular periods, and I've never had them before, and it's just... They're really strange. Like, I stopped having periods in the beginning... And then I started having them again, but they're really light. And
how were you treated for the chlamydia?
There was this. It was this one dose of.
Right.
It was
kind
of like Alka-Seltzer.
Zithromax, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did they give you anything else after that?
No, that was it.
You're not on birth control pills. Didn't take the Depo shot or anything like that.
No.
Pretty much unrelated, I suspect.
All right. Do you have a lesbian partner?
Yes.
And you guys ready to start a family?
Well, she has a son.
Isn't that enough?
I wanted to try for a little girl.
Yeah, but what if you didn't get a little girl? You just kill the
son?
You just keep having kids.
No, by the way, I would have preferred to have a little girl.
I see. Well, how old is your lesbian partner?
She's 25.
Right. What do you guys do for a living?
She's a medical biller, and I'm currently unemployed.
Currently?
Well, I'm going to be going to school in the fall.
To study what?
To computers.
Okay.
All right.
Like an IT department.
Okay. Good. Hey, right. Karen.
Yeah?
You're 20.
Mm-hmm.
You got plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, here's my prediction. Most people, they break up, lesbian or not, when they're 20. So you could spit out a kid, stay with this chick for another 16 months, and then be some 21-year-old chick who had an infant who was on her own, who didn't have a job or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you don't want to put yourself in that position.
Just finish up school first.
Yeah.
Also, you want to be able to dedicate yourself to your school.
Right.
Yeah.
And not be busy taking care of a child. That's all right, a full-time
baby
deal. All right, good luck.
All right. I didn't want to know what happened to you, but something horrible. Get some therapy.
And the Zithromax did not screw up your periods.
All right.
That's kind of your blanket statement, huh?
Yeah. Let's
get some therapy.
Yeah. I guarantee she wasn't born a lesbian.
You want to ask?
What are your thoughts on self-therapy? Like people who can work through things on their own.
You can't do it because
it turns out
that our brains, this has now been all, there's a lot of good evidence now of how we rebuild and reintegrate our brain mechanisms, and it is from other people.
Really?
We cannot make change on our own.
So I should see somebody about my post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, well, that's the only way it's going to change. I mean, you can control the symptoms, but the actual integrative mechanisms don't change without a dyadic exchange.
Really?
Now, you could also just spend time with a good friend, but somebody has to reflect your experience and show appreciation for what you're feeling.
Now, what if my good friend is white wine? You know what I mean?
or the,
that's my medicine.
Yeah,
and I mean it's my daytime
taboo
medicine.
12.
Or a hookah.
Yeah, my Dayquil,
yeah.
White wine. My NyQuil,
red wine.
You see?
Oh man, you're cool.
Yeah. All right, let's take ourselves a little break here.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this. Well, that's the show, everybody.
Aww.
I know. Where's the time go?
It goes by so fast.
It really does. That'd be a good song for the Transformers. No, the Transmuters.
Mutilators.
The Mutilators. All right. Everybody, Jerry Manthey, put your hands together.
Thank you.
God bless you, baby doll. We will take ourselves a nice little 22-hour break. We'll be back with Bam Majer from MTV's Viva La Bam. You know what I mean? True.
I'm just thinking about my day tomorrow.
All that jazz
I'm thinking
stuff.
About my day tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Quiet.
Yeah, don't do that. You won't be able to sleep tonight.
Oh, he will. All right.
Will.
So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
What happened to you growing up? You were sexually abused?
Oh, my God. No.
Huh?
No.
Nothing like that happened growing up.
Okay, maybe.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.